Welcome to Jim Brown's Outrig Capercast. It's my ongoing series of stories about modern seafaring watercraft and their people. I'm sure our friend Christy, the digital ice maiden, is here someplace. Let's see if we can get her to tell us where we are.
So you want me to be your yes maiden? I could even be your sweetie pie, but then we'd get all lovey-dovey and things will really get screwed up. But if that's what you want, let's just hope this is caper number 9, and you say it's still more anchoring stories? Mercy. And I wanna go to some cool places in a fancy yacht with only one hull, you hear?
Well, sure, Christy, you wanna go to, say, Maine? It's one of the finest cruising grounds in the world for about 12 weeks of the year. The coast is studded with islands, particularly in the vicinity of Penobscot Bay, which is a wide, fairly deep bight in the coast that's littered with islands and wonderful anchorages. And up near the top of Penobscot Bay, there's a little place called Center Harbor. And in Center Harbor, there is a boatyard that's run by a guy now named Steve White. I was privileged to be friends with his father, Joel White, who was a monumental figure in American yachting. So Joel's son, Steve, grew up around the boatyard and has since gone on to run several others. And he and his father designed and built some wonderful classic monohulls. And they also did some very slippery monohulls, which we're all done with the laminated wood epoxy system. And one of these boats was for son Steve, a sleek 40-foot sloop, all finished bright and Bristol fashion. After all, the guy runs a boatyard. Well, I was admiring her one day. She was definitely a boat you could call her. And I remarked about the name. Steve had named it Vortex. So I asked him, I said, "Hey, Steve, I like the name. Where does it come from?" And he said, "Oh, that's something we heard over the radio one day when we were cruising around Penobscot Bay. It was a distress call to the Coast Guard. Some folks had spent the night on anchor in a tight cove someplace nearby, and now they couldn't get out. They said, every time we try to leave, we get turned around. The current grabs us. I think we're caught in a vortex. We need a tow. We can't get out of here." Well, there was a long silence from the Coast Guard. They were apparently discussing the issue, and they came back and said, "Is there any danger to life and limb?" And the yacht responded, "No, but we're caught in a vortex. We can't leave. We can't get out of here." And there was another long silence from the Coast Guard, and finally a different voice came back on and said very somberly, "Have you considered pulling up the anchor?" So I put in a little silence, too, because I'm sure that what was going on in the Coast Guard station was that they would close the mic while they all laughed. Well, I don't know what we can learn from that one. I just can't imagine trying to leave an anchorage without pulling up the anchor. And I just hope that nobody ever pulls into an anchorage and forgets to put it down. Actually, the real issue here is how to put it down. A lot of people out in boats have no idea how to anchor, and we're not going to go into the whole matter of anchoring. It deserves a book in itself or a whole podcast series, but there definitely are skills. The most basic one, however, I think deserves mention here. The most fundamental anchoring rule of all is don't drop the anchor until the boat is moving slowly backwards. Or, depending on conditions, perhaps slowly sideways, or even slowly forward. Whatever you do, don't drop the anchor chain and line on top of the anchor. Let the boat drift or motor slowly away from the anchor and pay out the chain and line, if you use line. Let it go slowly. Lay it out straight and flat on the bottom. And when you've let out about as much scope as you think you need, then start snubbing up on the anchor slowly. Don't jerk it at first. Let the weight of the boat gently hook the anchor into the bottom. Once you feel that the anchor is not dragging, and you can feel it very clearly by putting your hand on the line out forward of the roller or whatever it is that it's tied to, you can feel if the anchor is dragging. If it feels quiet, then you can snug on it. That is, pull a bit with the engine if you're anchoring with the engine or with the sails. Sail up onto the anchor a bit and let the boat drift back and set it, and then a second or third time, set enough slack in the line by sailing up over the anchor or motoring up over the anchor and then backing down on it enough to really jerk on it. If it's not hooked into the bottom, if it's dragging at that point, you gotta get it up and try again. The first complication occurs when the wind or the current changes. The modern lightweight anchors that we use for modern lightweight watercraft are amazingly effective if they bite into a good bottom, good clean sand or mud. But if the current changes and you pull on the anchor in, say, the opposite direction from which it was originally set, you're going to ask it to pull out and set again in a new direction. And that can be problematic, because when you pull the anchor out, these modern anchors anyway, sometimes they are choked with mud or weed or other debris that they have caught up on the bottom. That is, in trying to set in the new direction while you're asleep, the mouth is full. The hook has its mouth full and it can't grab the bottom. That's the primary cause of dragging anchors. So if you know the tidal current is going to change, you've got to set two anchors, and that's the so-called Bahamian moor. You know, there are books about it, talked about it in my book. The other thing is wind changes. It's very helpful to keep an eye on the weather when anchored, so that if you know the wind is going to change, you can put another anchor out that'll hold the boat in the event of the change, and arrange the two roads on board, the length of them, so that no matter which way the wind comes from, you're not going to ask either one of those anchors to be turned around completely. You might have to pull on them in another direction, but at least not the opposite direction. And that will prevent a lot of anchor dragging incidents. Now, I hope these stories indicate just how tenuous an anchorage can be. Let's say you're traveling maybe in foreign waters and you're dependent on the boat entirely. Everything you own is in the boat, including your wife and family and so on. You are really very much reliant on this technical contraption dangling on a string and trying to find a place on the bottom of the ocean where it can bite in and hang on. Anchors can be amazingly effective. That is, they'll hold the boat in one hell of a blow. Even, you know, the story about Mark Hassel is an indication. They can really hold, but they can also be deceptive. You know, they will lie to you with authority. They'll feel good and solid, and boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing that'll make you feel more grateful to wake up in the morning. Everything is still safe. You've had a good night's sleep, but the boat is nowhere near where you put it the night before. We once anchored Scrimshaw at a place called Watch Hill, Rhode Island. We'd had a long, tiring day, and here was a great, big, man-made harbor surrounded by a beautiful breakwater, lots of room in there. We put the hook down, set it carefully in what felt like gushy mud, and had a good meal and just crashed. In the middle of the night, we were awakened by thunder and lightning. A blistering squall came through, shook the boat around like a rat, pulled on the anchor in a very different direction than from which it was set. But we didn't seem to go very far. Anyway, the thing was reset, but there was apparently a boat in the anchorage that had come loose and was crashed against the breakwater on the inside of the harbor. There was a road over the breakwater, and so there were emergency vehicles out there with flashing lights and all that stuff trying to save this boat and save these people. And we felt snug as a bug in a rug because we didn't move. Well, the next day when we tried to get the anchor up, we realized why we hadn't moved. It had come up all right and dragged and reset on a scrap of enormous cable lying on the bottom of the harbor. We were barely able to get the anchor up high enough to get a hold of the cable and dislodge it from the anchor. Again, we had been extremely lucky. Here's another, if you don't mind. We were once anchored at a place called Glover's Reef. It's the only true atoll in the Atlantic. It lies about 25 miles off the Belize Reef down in the Western Caribbean. Very seldom visited, but turned out to be a wonderful microcosm of the South Pacific. You know, a circular lagoon with an entrance where once you got in there, you were very well protected from all directions. And a couple of little palm-studded islands. It was an ideal place, great diving. Well, we went to bed there one night on one side of the lagoon, woke up the next morning on the other side of the lagoon. I was dumbfounded, took a swim to have a look, and found that the anchor, one fluke of the anchor, had found its way into a crack in the coral that was just the right shape, just barely hanging on by a thread. We were anchored and for that reason did not drag into the reef from the inside of the lagoon. Really lucky. Forgive me, I'm just reminiscing here 40 years worth of anchoring stories in my old boat, Scrimshaw. About the first time that we ever sailed that boat out in the ocean, we went from Santa Cruz, California, down to Moss Landing. It's only 10 miles to have a little celebration there at the Elkhorn Yacht Club for the launching of Scrimshaw. We sailed up in there, all of a sudden got hit by a really hard wind. It just came up, and we were unable to motor against it with our minuscule little outboard. And so I threw the anchor out, and of course it went down in a big pile of weed, and we dragged sideways across a big weed bed over to the point where we were approaching a waterfront restaurant, and everybody was looking out the window, seeing us coming at them, and we finally went into the restaurant. We could see the drinks sloshing in their glasses on the table. These things can be rather humbling, you know. Another time, just the boys and I were coming up our home river here in the southern Chesapeake, just headed for home after a weekend out in the boat, and there was one of our real doozer thunderstorms approaching, and so we got the sails down and started to motor, and when the wind arrived, it was such that it overwhelmed us completely, and so we dropped the anchor, and the anchor was dragging. It was dragging slowly, but we were dragging backwards toward a nasty dock. By now, the chop had built to the point where if we had run into this dock, we really would have done some damage to the boat. And we solved the problem in rather inventive way, I think. What we really needed to do was drag faster so that we would pass the dock before getting over close to that side of the river to encounter it. So we put the engine in reverse and actually dragged the anchor faster, managed to, you know, sneak by the end of the dock with the wind howling in the rigging, all of us just hanging on. I think it's the only time I've heard of where our salvation was to induce anchor dragging.
Hey, Jimmy. I thought this was supposed to be about modern watercraft. Isn't anchoring pretty much the same for all watercrafts? Where are you going with this, anyway?
Three good questions, Christy. The middle one first. Yes, anchoring is pretty much the same for all watercraft. Between classical heavyweight watercraft and modern lightweight watercraft, there are some important differences. Theoretically, the lighter the boat, the lighter can be the ground tackle. Well, maybe. And lightweight ground tackle is a great advantage because you can pull it up for a boat of a given size when you reach the point where the ground tackle is too heavy to handle by hand. Then you've got to have an anchor windlass, driven by electrical power usually, And that's a whole nother realm of boating. When you get to a boat that's big enough where you have to have an anchor windlass, well, you're asking for trouble if the windlass doesn't work. What do? You can't leave. And we're not going to try to talk about all the different anchor styles and the different types of road and the various skills of anchoring in different kinds of bottom and all that. It's a huge subject. We can't get into it now, but the effect of waves or swell throwing the boat back against its anchor tackle is certainly much less with a lightweight vessel. However, multi-hulls, for instance, among the lightweights, have more windage than monohulls. But because of their shallow draft, they can usually be gotten into much more protected anchorages than deep draft vessels. And simply in an effort to minimize weight, usually the lightweight vessels carry lighter anchor tackle than heavy and deep draft vessels. And generally, anything more than a 25-pound anchor, together with maybe a boat length, even half a boat length of chain on that anchor, of no greater than 5/16 diameter, then anchor road, nylon road from the chain to the boat, that combination is about the most that one can handle by hand without the use of an anchor windlass. That's if you're alone. Now, if you have two able-bodied crew on the foredeck hauling on the chain, you might be able to handle 3/8 chain and as much as a 40-pound anchor, but boy, you're starting to ask for it. And these considerations may have something to do with the size and type of boat that one chooses to buy or build. Another distinction applies specifically to multi-hulls. Because of their wide stance, their wide beam, they can utilize the tactic of anchoring by a bridle, that is, one anchor line from each outboard bow leading to an apex where the rest of the anchor road leads singly down to the anchor. If rigged properly, this can prevent absolutely the tendency of lightweight vessels, particularly multi-hulls, to sail on anchor, that is, for the breeze to catch their forward bow surfaces and try to make the thing yaw, sail left or right while on anchor. And in extreme conditions, if this sailing is not restricted by the bridle, it can lead to pulling out the anchor. It can also threaten other vessels in the anchorage that may be lying still, and it can make the crew dizzy. But anchoring by a bridle can absolutely prevent this problem, even when anchored in very hard wind and very rough water. And your third question, where am I going with this? Well, no further at this point. The subject of lightweight modern vessel seamanship is so huge that we'll have to just fit it into the stories now and then. Next time you come, maybe I'll tell you a lot more where I hope we can go with Jim Brown's Outrigged Capercast. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.